Here, we will start the meeting. It is a city council meeting for Tuesday, November 14th, and we always start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next, we have the roll call by our clerk.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher is absent. Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornelius.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. I have no amendments to the agenda. I have no presentations. Does anyone else have a presentation? If you want to give me a present, I'd even take that. Nothing? Okay. Next, I will open up the public hearing for the 2023 tax levy estimate payable in 2024. So the public hearing is now open. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak towards the tax levy estimate hearing? And Rob, you said the total was $5.073 million, or $5.08 million, somewhere in that range?
$5.073 million.
Thank you very much. Seeing no public who wants to speak, I will close the public hearing. Do we have any citizens who would like to comment on anything on the agenda?
I just have two sentences about the UDO.
Oh, thank you. Remember to state your name.
Molly Kremsky.
Welcome, Molly.
Thanks. I heard that you guys were unanimously awesome when I wasn't here last time, so I just wanted to thank you. I'm sincerely.
We didn't have all that pressure, Molly.
Yeah.
I hear you fine.
Thank you. Now you're doing me better. I'm sincerely grateful for your actions on the UDO thus far. Thank you for recognizing the people's rights and unanimously upholding your oath of office with regard to yard signs. Thank you for hearing and unanimously upholding the preferences of the people with regard to the terms and the definitions used in our ordinances. I know it's not easy to hear the people after you've spent a lot of money on a consultant to help you understand how the world is going to work now, but you were able to hear us and you were able to hear that that's not the way that we want the world to work, and I'm sincerely grateful for that. I'm proud of Yorkville's aldermen representatives today, and I wanted to take a second to publicly express my gratitude. Well done.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to items on the agenda? Okay, we're moving on. Next, we're to the consent agenda, and on there we have the minutes of the meeting from October 24th and bill payments for $3,195,547.63. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
Second.
Soling and Terulis?
Give it to Seaver.
Okay, we'll give it to Seaver. That's according to Mr. Koch. Okay, this requires a roll call.
Koch?
Yeah, aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next, we have the mayor's report. As always, there are a couple items I'd like to mention that are not here. First of all, earlier today, well, about a week and a half ago, a good dear friend of mine and a person who had a lot of influence and did a lot of good for the community, Dale Singamonson, passed away, and I attended the wake service earlier today. Not in my holiday shirt, but nonetheless, I went there. Anyway, Dallas is one of the people who probably indirectly influenced me for getting involved in politics. Just somebody who always did good for the community. I went to school with one of his sons. Just a good person, and he'll be deeply missed. And boy, they always had a good time, too. Just always a good time. Next we have on the agenda, or unlisted on the agenda. What's your name? The new guy, the new press guy.
David.
David? And you're with Shaw? Excellent. Well, welcome. This is David from Shaw. And then this is your first meeting, right? Yeah, we have fun here. Can't always write about fun, but we do have fun. And then finally, we have, are you here for high school? Which class, government?
Yeah.
Okay. When do you have to have this, because there are some kids here at the last meeting too. When do you have to have this done by?
January.
Nice. Do you have to like write a little report or something?
Okay.
And you gotta tell your teacher how boring it was. So you, I tell you what, because you did such a fine job answering the questions, you have your teacher contact us, and we'll make sure you get some extra points. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Okay. Next thing we have on the mayor's report, and we have quite a few items actually. First thing we have is 2023-61, a resolution approving an agreement for disbursement and use of Kendall County's ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act funds, for $225,000. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second? I think it was Transier. Bart, where are you at? Right there? You were hiding behind Kathy here.
Doing my best. Yes. Yeah, this is Kendall County ARPA Fund grant for use of water main relocation projects, or use of funds for our water main relocation projects. It's $225,000. We simply have to accept this grant. We will, or grant agreement, we will ask the county for the funds, and then we will either consider them to be used on a project we are currently completing, depending on pay estimates, or next year during our water main projects. So don't anticipate any issues with use of funds, but we have to accept this to get the process going.
Questions? Comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next. We have 2023-62, a resolution authorizing the purchase of a street sweeper from EJ Equipment Inc. from Manteno, Illinois, an amount not to exceed $345,033. Is there a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, Tarulis and Soling. Now, this was a single source because no one else had one available. This
is a source quill bid.
Oh, it is?
It is a source quill bid.
Oh, okay. So does it still require six votes or not?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a way to basically get the quotes in without having to do them ourselves. So.
Okay. And this is actually, we had, what, $350 budget for this?
We did.
Yeah, so this came a little bit under. And we can take this one pretty much right away, right?
I did for special for all of the Transier. I made sure it was actually in Addison today.
Wow. Are they going to raise the price in the next week because of supply problems?
I have the bill right here. So no, it is. We can probably pick it up next week. They're prepping it right now.
When do you expect to use it?
As soon as we don't leaves.
On your street tomorrow, maybe.
No, there's still leaves.
Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice, thank you. And Eric, that was nice because normally we'd have to wait, what, a year, year and a half of that? Yeah, it worked out super, so thank you all.
Were you guys able to demo it?
Yes, we went up to, I can't remember what town they went up to, but they had one, they let us demo it along with their people that won it. That was really nice.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, next we have, oh, something else with some ARPA money, the Rob Roy Drainage District. Do we need to do these as three separate, or can we do one motion?
Separate.
We've drafted them as three separate.
Okay. Well, the first thing is we're looking for a bid approval with Homer, what are they called, Homer Tree Service of Lockport, an amount not to exceed $180,500. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Transier. Okay. So, Eric, do you want to explain this?
Sure. This is kind of our partnership. partnership with the Rockaway Bridge as we were asked to facilitate the use of Kendall County funds again for this project for the clearing of trees along the Rockaway Bridge. We held we set out an RFP. We had two contractors reply, and one of which was from the tree service, which was significantly lower than the other bid. They are very capable of doing the work. They do jobs like this all the time.
Thank you for having us. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Next, under the Rob Roy, we have a resolution approving a memorandum of understanding by and between the City of Yorkville and the Rob Roy Drainage District. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Transier, Soling. Bart, you want to explain this at all? Or?
Yeah, this is just the MOU that covers the use of the funds for the bid and their kind of management of the project, participation in it, and allows us to proceed forward with clearing out the ditch.
Questions, comments? Ken?
So I understand. So the count, we were given a $500,000 amount, and we're using a smaller amount here. So what happens with the remaining amount?
We either have to spend it within the next calendar year or return it to the county, which then gets returned to the feds. So I know when Eric and I had spoken about this on Friday, that we anticipate coming up with other projects for maybe some stabilization, some different targeted clearing in different areas, and just some other maintenance projects along the way.
But only it has to all pertain to the Rob Roy tree?
Yes. Well, it has to pertain to the drainage district.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Other questions, comments?
Just one.
Yes.
Bristol Township, or not Bristol Township, the Rob Roy Drainage District has been authorized to sign this too, so if they haven't already, they will be signed.
Okay. And Eric, just explain again, how does this benefit the city? Because there's been questions.
Oh, we have subdivisions that at the end of the Rob Roy Drainage Ditch. So this, by keeping it clear and keeping it free flowing, will actually ensure that our stormwater detention funds work correctly.
Excellent. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next, we have an ordinance authorizing the Fifth Amendment to the budget for Yorkville, commencing May 21st, 2023, and ending April 30th, 2024. And that is to spend this money because it is not in the budget. And this does require 6 votes. Any questions, comments? Need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Cornelius and I think it was Koch, right? Rusty, you're on it today. Roll call, please.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
We have 5.
So. Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay, that's it for Rob Roy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Next, I'm looking for a motion to approve 2023-64, an IGA, that's intergovernmental agreement, sorry, between Yorkville School District 115 and the City of Yorkville.
So moved.
Second.
Funkhauser and Terulis. Jim, you want to explain this?
Absolutely. So we currently had, or we just had an IGA that had expired with the school district, which allows us to perform certain communications with the district between things that happen in town that we deal with and things that happen in the school that they're dealing with, so we share that information. Our previous agreement had expired. The new agreement that is school district attorney, our attorney. Some of the changes are minor address changes, superintendent name changes. There's been updates in the body camera law that we put into this IGA, and the effective date expiration date also changed.
Questions, comments? Mr. Transier. Attorney Transier.
Yeah, this is where it's coming from. I have some concerns about this, given the confidential nature of juvenile, not only offenses, but court actions. From what I read, it doesn't just apply to students enrolled in Yorkville schools. There's a paragraph I saw where it says that school officials, and then later down it says the police, may properly report to each other, the police or the school officials, activity of students who reside and or attend school in the city of Yorkville. That leads me to believe that if you send your kids to schools, Marmion, Borough Central Catholic, or a Christian, if they get arrested, police department's going to tell the city of the Yorkville.
So if there's anything that would affect the school specifically, then we would have that communication with them. If it does not affect the school and we don't see that that behavior, that action would affect the school, we are not communicating back to the school.
Okay, so students enrolled outside of the city of Yorkville, if it's not involving any of the Yorkville school, they wouldn't be reporting.
That's the same question you asked me last time, too.
Okay.
I
also have some concerns in here about some of the breadth of the things that are being reported. I don't necessarily know if family disputes is something that needs to be reported to the school district. I don't see a definition of family disputes in there.
They wrote down what the statute allows us to do.
Right.
One of the things that we are trying to do with that is not to put people's business out there. It's more to provide assistance to the child basically. So here's an example. If there's a domestic case and a child is a witness to that domestic case, that child's going to go to school that next day not being in the right mind of learning in the education environment. So we will have one representative from the school district giving the information to you. It's not the specifics of the case. It's more about, hey, make sure that you pay attention to little Jimmy. There was an incident that happened at the house. He may just something maybe a little off today, and then they're able to provide social work services, other services to the child.
And then with abuse and neglect, I mean, I know the schools are mandatory reporters, but they're usually not looped into these sorts of things in juvenile court. So if parents are brought in on allegations of abuse and neglect, and they don't occur in the school district, and they have nothing to do with the school district, the school district's not involved. But in this,
so if we have something outside the school district, has nothing to do with the school district, we're not reporting that to them. However, if what occurred could affect the juvenile's learning day, we would again present information to them more specific to watch out for the child, to make sure that the child is okay.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Roll call.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Nay.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have a resolution approving it. MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, between Yorkville and Bristol Township. And this is for what we commonly call the Cannonball Curve. As you probably know, that was resurfaced, widened, whatever was done, improvements were made this past summer. And this is an agreement to pay a portion, just slightly less than half, $50,000 per year over 4 years. I'm looking for a motion in a second.
So move.
Transier. Did I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'll read this one again. I couldn't remember the list. Next, we have number 2366, ordinance authorizing the Fourth Amendment to the budget commencing May 1st, 2023 and ending April 30th, 2024. And this is for a community-oriented policing services grant, a.k.a. COPS grant. And this is for $240,553. Jim, you want to explain this?
Absolutely. So we're very excited about this. So earlier this...
Hang on. Can I get a motion a second before I forget?
Motion.
Tarulis, second, Funkhauser, because I'll get corrected when I forget and go ask for... Oh, okay, go ahead.
So we're very excited about this. We applied for a grant earlier this year to the Department of Justice COPS Office, de-escalation grant. We wrote the grant under the auspices of combining all law enforcement services in Kendall County, so all police agencies, to include corrections, court security, and school district personnel. Under this grant, for us to purchase a fully inclusive VR virtual reality system. Now, you're not wearing goggles. This system is a 300-degree system, so there's five screens, 10 feet wide, 7.5 feet tall, fully immersive. That an officer will go into a situation, the trainer will program what scenario there is, and there's 700 different scenarios in the system. In each scenario, there's 85 different ways that that scenario can go. So when an officer is in there, let's say a mental health call for service, depending on what that officer says, the person on the computer can dictate what that answer up on the screen is going to be and what the actions of that person on the screen are going to be. So this complies with the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board training requirements, the NEBR training requirements, housed in the Kendall County Courthouse. We met with the judge this morning for Kendall County, along with the sheriff. We will have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week access to it, and we're partnering with the law enforcement agencies to train all law enforcement. Scenarios to include mental health, de-escalation, shoot-don't-shoot scenarios, violence scenarios, business scenarios, and so on. I'm very excited about this.
Questions, comments? Roll call. Thank you, Jim.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Jim, thank you. Pretty dang exciting, if you ask me. You're getting a lot of these different grants, and also you're leading the charge and working with the other agencies in the county, and that is much appreciated. Okay. Next, we have 2023-38, an ordinance amending the City Code, Title 10, Chapter 19, Section 10-19-9, the revised solar permit fees. There are a couple basically errors. Would you call them, Chris? Scribner's. What's the term you use?
What's that?
Scribner errors or something like that? Scribner? Is that with a V or a B?
V.
V. You know, in Spanish, I remember learning in Spanish, V and B are similar, and they taught me this way back in the days. It was my kids would say in the 1900s. It would be, if it's a V, like vaca, it'd be bede burro or bede vaca, you know, like a burro, like a donkey, or a vaca, like a cow. Anyway, so it's a V, like vaca. Good to know, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so if any of you kids are studying Spanish, that's something good to know, too. So, questions, comments? Burro. Okay, roll call, please.
Motion.
Oh, I need a motion? Funkhauser raised his hand. I saw that.
Yes.
Second. Cornelius. Okay. Now we'll do a roll call.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Well, that was a lot. Okay. And I made it even longer than it needed to be. So, is there anything for Public Works? Nothing? Oh, yeah, he's on the screen. Nothing. Nada. Okay. Anything from economic development? Nothing? Okay. No, he's not here either. Okay, public safety.
Yes.
Public safety?
Yes, there is a motion. Yep. A motion to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of 3 police interceptor SUVs from Murrell Brothers Ford in Greenfield, Illinois in 2024 in an amount not to exceed $222,600 from the FY25 budget and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Very nice. Is there a second?
Second.
Wow. I think the delay, I'm going to give it to Merrick because I think that was the delay. It was actually in there first.
Score.
Yes.
Score,
right.
Score one for Merrick.
I like that. And the interceptor, that to me, that sounds like a Navy or Air Force, you know. That's what an interceptor. That sounds pretty bad. Okay. Questions, comments? May 1st or later, right?
After May 1st, yes.
Okay, so we'll be in next year's budget. Okay. Roll call.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Yes.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Cope.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Oh, and that didn't need 6 votes, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have to break a tie in that one. And for you kids watching, the one where I had a vote.
November 26th.
What the heck was that?
Somebody just logged in. I don't know.
Oh.
If they hadn't muted yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Anyway, the one time I had a vote, because we needed 6 yes votes on that, just different rules, and it was 5-2, so I had a vote. Normally, I don't vote unless there's a tie. So there, that's an extra bonus. You're learning so much tonight, you should be able to just skip the rest of the class and get an A in it. That's my opinion, at least. But I'm not a teacher. Okay. Admin committee. No report.
No report.
Okay. Park board. Tim, you have several things going on.
One big report, our city's holiday celebration is this weekend. Friday, we have with Santa from 3:30 to 5:30 down at the old brick office on Hydraulic. And then from 6 to 7, there's a variety of activities over at Park. Especially involving the Lake Pack and Burkeville High School Annuals. We have a parade at 6:30 to fireworks at 7. On Saturday, we have 2 runs at the Legion, a family run at 2:30 and then 5K at 4 with the fireworks show at 6:30.
Friday at 7 is a tree lighting.
It's after the parade around.
Yeah, and the fireworks are Saturday.
Yes, sir.
I thought I heard you say fireworks twice, so.
No.
Okay. I probably wasn't listening then, so. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot. And then, also, they're putting up the gazebo or whatever at the new park, correct?
The shelter going up.
Yeah, the shelter.
Last week, and the great weather we're putting up right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Rusty, again, you're delivering the goods for your neighborhood. I'm telling you, that's impressive. Anything else, Tim? Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
And I need to get you a couple people. City Council report. Anything? Anyone? Bueller? None? Okay. City Clerk report.
No report.
Community and Liaison reports.
In regards to the forest fires, I spoke with Chief Featherston today. From BKFD, and he said to me that they're pretty confident that they're not going to spread. They're not sure what started the fire, but it's been burning since Saturday. And the measures they've taken have been out for 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 hours each day, walking the property just to make sure everything's going. This morning was particularly bad with fog and haze. Ken spoke to me that he got several calls about it. Due to the lower temperatures and the dense air, it's basically like the smoke wasn't able to rise. It was almost like a fog. And with the winds picking up overnight again, they have a couple of trees that are still burning out. So the strategy is to basically just let it burn itself out. It's too deep in the woods for them to get any type of equipment to. But they're monitoring it. So there should be, they said they were going to update their Facebook post today to give the community a an update what's going on, but they're confident that they've got it contained under control.
Thank you. Mr. Coleman.
I want to piggyback on that. I'm a little surprised that we're going with the press's people have contacted them about going to a Facebook page for this, because
that didn't seem quite right, that there should be some kind of formal notification process. I mean, I know it's not us to do it, at least I don't think we have that ability, but maybe, like, I know if you had an issue with an officer, you know, police issue, or school district too, I believe, they issue a press release, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why that didn't happen here. It bothered, I guess the residents asked or the press, and they were told to go to the Facebook page, which kind of, they were upset about that. And then
what did the residents ask?
Huh?
What did the residents ask?
I think it was both presses, the Beacon News and the...
I'll be honest, I never heard a thing about it from anyone.
I didn't hear it until I got copied on this morning, and it's been going on since Saturday, so I kind of feel like, I don't know where I've been.
I haven't heard about it.
But I did think there was an officer took a call on Saturday. It was one of the police reports, I think. I did, that's how I found out about it. So. And then the other thing that was brought to my attention was, this is probably the Edwards property. I kind of want to verify more part, maybe on this, but are they maintaining that property? Is it overgrown, and that's why it's easy to ignite a fire there, because no one's, I mean, when did they, it had to be like 2012, 2013 when they, Edwards bought the property. So the residents were like, they wanted to know kind of if it's being maintained.
Do we normally go out and inspect wooded properties in this city?
No, it wouldn't be us inspecting it. It would be so more.
Then what are you asking?
If the developer, whoever owns the property, since they annexed it into the city, are they like Fermilab burns prairies twice a year, spring and fall. So is that an issue that was brought to me that maybe that's why it's gotten to where it's at now?
I don't know. I don't know.
We don't try to look for.
No, we don't. We don't go around inspecting wooded properties. I don't think he wants to start looking for down trees and wooded properties.
Is there a contact from Edwards or whoever? Is that property for sale?
I don't know if it's for sale. I don't have a direct contact.
Ken, we'll see what we can find out. But
yeah.
This first I heard was when you mentioned to me as I walked in.
I didn't hear about it until I was copying on it.
I've heard from nobody until now. So
yeah.
We'll see if we can find out who owns it. But we're not going to start inspecting wooded properties for down trees, you know, unless they're going to impact the neighbor's house or the you know,
well,
the street.
Well, it's a subdivision that backs up to that woods. That's why I meant, those people are living in a subdivision
right. That
backs up to the woods. And they were happy with the fire, and they said the firemen did a good job, or they felt safe and that they were keeping it from burning into there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
They asked me to bring it up to the attention. And
that's fine.
I asked Craig earlier, I thought he was liaison, and he kind of informed me what was going on. And that's how I found out.
So. Okay. We'll see what we can find out. Like I said, we don't know all that, but.
7:00. Okay.
When did it come up?
What happened on the 11th at 7 p.m.
Okay. Sunday? No, Saturday. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Go ahead.
So that's YBSD 4B.
Oh, that's right. You have a couple you go to, don't you?
Yeah. Their 1A development is nearing its ending phases. Right now, everything is running fantastic. Their phosphorus levels are at 0.77, which is well below their permit requirements. So their UV system is up and running, working great. So they're well ahead. They're right now in the process of reviewing the 1B design for their future expansion. So there should be some more stuff coming out on that here in the next couple of weeks, but they're really putting things together down there.
Good. It looks a lot different when you go down there.
It does.
A lot different.
That plant is maintained so well. Very, very
They good. Do a good job. So good. Anything else?
So I was also at the library board last night.
Oh, good for you. Thank you for going.
There's quite a few expenses coming up for library with the boiler system and the chiller system. Kind of glad I was there last night because there's a lot of discussion about rebuilding or replacing pumps, and I was able to give a little more feedback since that's kind of my area. So that's something we might have to look into in the future. They're going to come to us with some more information on that. But they did have their boilers just inspected, and they all passed inspected and seemed to be running pretty well.
That's good. Thank you. Thanks for attending.
Sure.
I got a problem with another 10 meetings if you want to attend them all. Anything else? Oh, that was actually, sorry, that was community liaison reports. Nothing else? Okay, staff report?
Just one item. We did extend our leaf pickup collection schedule. So we're anticipating that we're going to be finished with the south side of Yorkville tomorrow, which then leaves us time.
Leaves? Ba-dum-bum.
Yes, thank you. No pun intended, though, so thanks for walking me into that one. Thursday and Friday, we expect to be on the north side of the river again, so that's the 16th and the 17th, and then returning again to the south side on the 20th and the 21st, which is Monday and Tuesday next week. So weather is cooperating this year relatively well, and the leaves are somewhat cooperating, so we'll pick up as many as we can before we have to then turn our focus to preparing snow plows and all those other things. So that's all I have to report.
So, and just a reminder, the garbage company will pick up bags, leaf bags, year-round, right? Or
through the last week of November.
Oh.
On your garbage.
Oh, it's through the last week of November. And then when do they start up again? March?
April.
April, okay. But it's, all you have to do is buy the bag. There's no...
Correct. No, tip unlimited.
Right.
Unlimited.
So. Okay. Anything else in our staff report?
Nope.
We're under Mayor's Report number 2. We'll go to the UDO after Bart gives a city building and water study update.
I don't have anything to report, actually.
Well, there we go. Anyone have questions on the non-report? Chris, of course.
We're all asking questions.
Absolutely. I was waiting. You've been quiet today. Other than a couple of nays.
We have a couple building items that are still outstanding. The keys for the back doors, converting those over to Bob's, as well as the AV. Any
The keys to the back doors, I've got a quote waiting to authorize it for some budget info to come in. I believe that's come in. I just have to then go back to the contractor to update prices because they held it through November 1st, so hopefully that'll be a relatively quick turnaround, a few weeks. And then the second was the
EAV,
or the AV system. They have reported a couple weeks ago that they're starting to get parts in, but they still do not have full dates for all of the equipment. And I was actually set to touch base with them today, if you get a chance to. So hopefully by the next meeting we'll have a little bit more information.
Other questions, comments? Okay, Christy, I'm going to turn this over to you. We have some more UDO discussion, and did you have a presentation or just like an overview?
Just a conversation of the material that was provided.
Sweet. So do you want to kick it off? Or?
Sure.
Because you're awesome at that?
Doesn't want to turn on, so I'll have this off.
Oh, wow.
At the last meeting, there was conversation about the two last outstanding items, which was the accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, and the connectivity index calculation, which is in the subdivision standards. So I was asked to provide a little bit more background on ADUs, how other communities are regulating them, if any, in the area. And I provided you with a supplemental document, which is a combined effort between CMAP, which is the Chicago Metropolitan Area for Planning, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. If you recall, we did a report with MMC that was for senior living, continuous living in Yorkville. We called it Life Cycle Living, and AARP. And it just details the benefits of ADUs, particularly for older adults in the community. They gave some examples of some communities that implemented ADUs. One was use it as a method to address their mandate from the state to provide affordable housing, and that was Bull Valley, Illinois. So they use ADUs as a way to supplement the housing stock to provide affordability of rental units, and they implemented that in 2015. It seemed to be going successfully. There's an example there in the packet. Glenview, if you recall, in 1995, they had the naval base that went vacant, was removed, it was the Naval Air Station in Glenview, and they converted that into the Blend, which is a mixed-use development, and what they allowed in one of the neighborhoods was to do ADUs. And the reason why they allowed the ADUs, because they wanted a mix of affordable rental and residential traditional housing. And they found that with it being a walkable distance to the metro station, it was actually a plus for the community. They report no negative issues related to the accessory dwelling units. And then there was an example from Park Forest, who implemented ADUs in the mid-2000s. They had concerns about character in the neighborhood, so they required the ADUs to be attached, back entrances. They de-restricted the ADUs so that it required the homeowners to live either in the primary residence or the ADU. And that was in the mid-2000s, and then 2017, they allowed ADUs village-wide. So that was a success story.
What town was that?
And that was Park Forest.
Thank you.
And so the outcome of all of this information is that there is no one size that fits all for a community. There's combinations of things that communities use to timber this into the community to see how it goes. They can always change regulations as they go along to see how the success of it, or if it's not utilized at all. So the main components that came out of this was that a community should look at occupancy, decide whether if the owner should reside in the primary residence or in the ADU. I know we discussed that. But to note, there was a case study done, and 80% of properties with ADUs are owner-occupied. There's a design component. Should it be freestanding? Should it be attached? Communities, there's a mixed bag. Some allow only internal ADUs. Some allow both. What they found is either version would be helpful to a community that is experiencing a shortage of housing for seniors. And then the size, most are about 800 square feet or less. The UBO is recommending 900 square feet. But in the attached other communities that we looked at from the consultant, most range between having a minimum requirement of 220 square feet to a maximum of about 900 square feet. So we feel that our recommendation is consistent with that. And parking was also a concern, but the especially in areas that have limited parking, the ADU is proposing that parking is accommodated on site. So we don't feel that that's a huge hurdle for the recommendation in the UDO. And then the last component was the street connectivity. There was some discussion there, so we were able to find an example in Wake Forest, North Carolina, who is also going through this process of a UDO and a street connectivity. And there was some information that was provided just explaining what it is. It's basically, it measures the ratio, as I mentioned, number of blocks, which are considered links, and the number of intersections, which are nodes, and the greater number of blocks in, with connections and intersections, you have a greater level of connectivity, meaning shorter blocks, avoiding dead end and cul-de-sacs, and then the ability to reduce walking distances, decrease vehicular travel times, and include the which includes higher emergency services responses. So that was the information that was provided. And I'm open for questions if you have any, or if you just want to have a discussion about yourself.
Questions, comments, Chris? Yes, you do. If you don't, that's fine. If you want to pass, that's fine.
The ADUs, and we went around on this one about the, what the best way would be if we wanted to do that thing. I think it would be a benefit to have it codified for these. You know, people can do things right now without it being within the code. I think this helps us to kind of control and say this is what we're willing to do. There were some good recommendations of, you know, owner occupied either in primary or in the secondary, and then also the whether or not we want it to be limited as outright for the actual needs to be evident detail. cash to be special use. So that, if we move forward with this, I think that's a good compromise, is the detached are special uses. Staff make good recommendations on the size, you know, the 900 square feet, those kind of things. So I'm still good with it, with kind of the owner-occupied inclusion for one of the two use locations, and then the special use for detached.
Special use for detached. Okay. I'm making some notes here. And then owner-occupied, you said?
Yeah, in...
One or two.
Yeah, one of the two.
One of the two, okay. Let me ask you this. It was, I think, something we raised last time. I remember Christy raised it. If we say, okay, we're going to allow for owner-occupied, what happens when the owner dies? Do you kick the other person out?
Yeah.
And how are we going to enforce that?
That's a very good point. Good question.
Okay. And there's no perfect answers.
No.
Christy said there's no one-size-fits-all.
Exactly.
I'm still of the ilk that you want to rent out your basement, you want to put an extra entrance in there, we don't inspect it now. I mean, we inspect it for it and make sure you hit code requirements for an extra entrance, but if somebody wants to have a kitchen and a bath and a bedroom in their basement, we don't do anything with that now. Is that not working?
It's not legal. Two units in a single-family home.
You can have a full basement.
Can have a complete basement with all of that, but then you get into the issue where we have calls, there's multiple families living in a single family unit, so we would inspect to make sure that the units still have connectivity, that you can still travel from, you know, first floor to second floor. If you start putting up barriers that make it too separate, where you have a door,
so this would allow them to be completely separate. That's really the only
Correct.
Difference in it.
Self-contained unit.
Okay.
Not just the, you know, in-law suite that is completely separate, where they have their own kitchenette, that kind of thing. That's what happens a lot now. This is the truly separated out, whether you want to rent it out to a family member or to a friend or just some other third party.
Mr. Koch.
So you didn't mention, I was looking at the Wilmette example, and that one means both are, did I understand that right, that both are special use?
So Wilmette requires all of them to be special use in their residence district, and they do not allow detached.
Wilmette does not allow detached.
Correct.
Interesting.
How would this work with utilities? Because would they be separated, like such as like YVFD, they would be billing for two separate connections, or would it be one?
No, so staff included language in our draft that says that there should be only one common driveway, one utility service, one garbage pickup, so that it's not seen as two separate units. So they would have to share 1 meter for water and one garbage pickup service.
One mailbox, too, wasn't
it? One mailbox, correct.
So from the front, it would appear as one home. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with owner-occupied, and maybe what we do, owner-occupied, and if the owner dies, they can come in for...
Yeah, I'm more curious how that would work.
Maybe you'd come in for some type of... whatever, special use variance, not too complex, but then we can look and say, yeah, there's been no problems here for 10 years. We can continue. Or, yeah, we got calls here every other week and there's problems there. We're not going to continue. And there's probably a way we could do something with the language of that, I would think. And you can make up the rules as you want, and that's what we do.
I think if the owner died, the problem would be for the occupant, the heirs of the owner. I don't necessarily see the city having a problem with that. It's the people who inherit the house would then most likely be able to resolve the issue of any holdover tenants. And I'm assuming, you know, these are 80% family,
most of
right. Mm-hmm. So it probably wouldn't be that much of an issue. If it did become an issue, it would probably be something that they'd be handling with an eviction proceeding rather than the city getting involved.
So you're fine with owner-occupied, is that what you think?
I am.
Okay, let's at least tackle that. Chris, you said, or I like your shirt, by the way. It almost reminds me slightly of like a disco look. Not quite, but you're fine with owner-occupied?
Yeah.
Dan, I know you were. Rusty, you have any thoughts on that? Owner-occupied, you're fine with that?
Yep.
Siever?
No.
What's that?
I'm staying out of this one.
Okay. Siever's like a no. Nay. He's a nay. No, he's a abstain. Okay. Ken?
I could be in favor of the owner-occupied, but I just like the question you mentioned, what happens? That just seems real vague. If something happens to the person who owns it, I mean, yeah,
you're okay with owner-occupied if we can come up with some language for
yes.
That. Okay. At least we can work on that then.
Yeah.
Craig? You don't have to.
I would prefer the owner-occupied if we were going to move forward. Absolutely.
Okay. Matty Merrick, coach.
I'm owner-occupied. I'm good with.
Okay. So that gives you some direction on that, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then we'll have to come up with some language or try to come up with some language. Okay, and then what about we got to address the detached. Detached, I'm starting at this end, or do you not want to start?
I'm not in favor of detached.
I'm not either.
Not at all? Not even with a variance? Special use? I think this is going down in flames. Okay.
I don't mind if it's special use.
Okay.
I'm all right with this. As long as it's special use.
Oh, now this is getting real interesting. It's kind of like how the east is blue and the west is red, and then you're up till 3 in the morning. Chris?
Special use.
Special use. Oh, my gosh, and Poulter's not here. Mr. Merrick, where are you at?
I'm good with special use.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. What does this need? 5 or 6?
Technically 5.
Right.
To give us direction to draft the text amendment.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask this point blank. Over here, on this side. Because I don't remember what Poulter said. God, I need... If we put it in with a special use, are you all just going to say hell with the whole thing? Because I'm not wanting to die on this hill, but I could support with the special use. But I don't want to bury the whole thing because of this issue. I tell you what, we'll get that language going. You don't have to answer tonight, because we're not going to vote on this next meeting. It's going to take some time. So just think about that, and then I can talk to Poulter too, and maybe it's a moot point. So right now, we're going to go with owner-occupied. We've got to work on some language, and detach with the special use, because I heard that on this side, right? But this is very interesting. This is like being in the House of Representatives, where you're all on one side, you're all on the other side.
But the additional language, that's in case an owner passes? Do we need to get involved in that? Like Dan said, it's probably going
to
be...
I was asked to have us take a look at that. So okay. We're going to craft some language and maybe y'all say to hell with it.
All right. Yeah, I think you want something in there that... Because like the kids are going to... What if the kids come in and say, now you're paying rent or no, you got to get out because we're selling the house. And the person paying rent doesn't want to sell the house. I know a situation right now like that, so...
Or would we get in the middle of it as it is right now? We wouldn't.
No.
So that's why I'm asking, why would we do that? Why would we insert ourselves when it's not...
But how does that shake out? Yeah. My guess is that the language will be relatively vague and that the underlying procedures employed by whether the special use continues is going to be a matter of case law or operational administration, et cetera. So,
okay.
So hopefully we can provide some clarity on that at the next meeting.
Christy, go ahead.
The question that I had is if we're applying that standard, is it only to the detached or will it be to...
Yeah, I wasn't clear on that.
To the...
I heard it for everything because that was the first thing we attacked was owner
occupied. Right, because my recommendation was owner could be occupying either. That would be my preference. You're not limiting it to the primary residence or the actual ADU detached. It's owner could be in either of the two.
It's just easier enforcement if it's for the special use, because you can make that a condition. It would be a little bit harder for enforcement for our permit. language.
Yeah, we'll talk, and this one we're going to have to come back to and beat it up, but we'll come up with something. You gave us some direction, and I'm sure we'll come back with something that we may have to tweak again. But the goal is to get this done by November of next year, so.
Let me say this.
What? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I'm not in favor of detached, but with a special use, I could.
You can consider it.
But I wouldn't necessarily say I would vote yes. Special use would be special circumstances. If you're just looking to build something just to add revenue, then go buy an apartment building. You know, if it was for, a young couple or family.
So the detached, you would.
I could be swayed.
If it's special use.
If it's special use.
And then it's a case by case.
Yeah, on a case by case.
Okay, so like hardship cases, we could put that in language. I don't know if we can put that in language or not.
I think this is problematic from a legal standpoint. So you're saying that if I need to live with my parents and my parents are very, very old, so I can do it, but now I'm going to live with my parents because I don't want to get a job, that's a no?
Well, there's well-established case law for special use, correct? On different criteria it has to meet?
Yes, but
it does not include consideration of revenue, and it does not include consideration of,
Which means if we take those things into account and make decisions off of them, that we're in jeopardy, basically, to have our zoning decision for a special use overturned.
Correct.
Okay, well, we got some gray direction. We're going to put something together, we're going to bring it back, and we can dissect it then. Because we're not going to resolve it tonight. So, we'll come back with something. Okay, does that take care of the ADU issue?
That gives me direction, yes.
Yeah, I shouldn't say take care of it, but for tonight. ADU issue, it rhymes. Now, we also have the other, the connectivity. This, Chris, I know it's one of your favorites. Christy, do you have anything you want to start out with?
The information is provided in there.
Can you give me an example of each choice there? Like, so one is...
You're talking about connectivity, or are you... Huh? You're talking about connectivity. You're moving on, right? Okay, that's fine.
We're moving on to that.
Yeah, that's fine.
So A is keep or B is remove. So what's... If you were a fan of cul-de-sacs, which one would you pick?
If I were a fan of
cul-de-sacs? Yeah,
You would say to remove it.
If you're not a fan, you would keep it in there.
Okay.
Because it minimizes the amount of cul-de-sacs by requiring
I want to make more
intersections and connection points.
Correct.
So I have a question, and I don't know who this is for. I think it's for staff. If we have more connection points, does that create more expenses and maintenance and replacement in the future?
An error question.
Not necessarily. I don't think it adds to anything. Let's say you have a straight through road with no connection, you have curb here and curb here, and then you have the same amount of curb, just that's the other way to another road. I don't think you're gonna have more roads. You've got the same amount of roads because they want the same amount of houses, they only allow a certain amount of density.
If you've got more connections, it's more stop signs, it's more stop bar painting.
Could be.
Yeah, it's...
Or calming devices.
Section traffic design.
Or it could be a 45-mile
road. Yep.
So we already have that in a lot of places already, right? With all these traffic studies and wanting stop signs and yield signs and all this stuff.
Sure.
So just make more of them.
Typically, with the connectivity plan, it, as noted here with the Wake Forest, promotes short blocks of less than 300 linear feet. Their intent is to make shorter blocks, shorter crossings, which I get the pedestrian connectivity issues, but when you're talking vehicular connectivities, that's where you start running into issues. You're introducing more streets, more intersections, in order to accommodate generally. So you
what's it say for, say that again, I haven't read every detail of it.
Yeah, so.
300 feet for a block?
No, 600.
Oh, 600, which if
which
the average.
Which is not our standard that we are implementing.
That's what, eight homes per block at 80 foot wide?
It's a few more than that.
Well, 600, 8 times 80 is 640.
So it's eight, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that would be a short block. Ours is 800 feet.
800.
For the minimum, or the block length, which we actually were looking longer than that. Because that's,
so 800 is encouraged?
Yes, that's encouraged.
Correct.
We have our max at
1,300.
15. Wait, 800 is encouraged or 600 is encouraged?
Wake Forest has 600 in their
yes.
Example. But our ordinance, our UDO, proposes an encouragement of 800.
Oh, okay.
But 1,350 is the standard.
So when you think about that, we're encouraging 800 feet, but 1,300 is the standard. So if you impose the connectivity, you know, instead of every 1,300 feet, every 800 feet, you're going to have an additional intersection, so an additional road crossing. So you play that out over a mile, you have more roadway, because you have to introduce that additional crossing. It's in another stop sign or yield sign or uncontrolled intersection, and it's just ever so often you have more streets. What it does, you know, from my point of view, from, you know, doing design for 20 years and being on the developer side, it does take away creativity from development design, because you have to hit a certain index of it. You're not as free to create something that's more flowing or aesthetically pleasing. You're going to get more gridded subdivisions and more intersection, more T's, more four-way intersections.
Questions, comments? Christian, why was this suggested by the consultant or whoever suggested it?
So it was a standard that was used to promote walkability of neighborhoods.
Okay.
And to reduce the number of cul-de-sacs. Right now, it's consistent with what we've seen in a lot of our plan developments, where the connectivity standard is for every block, you have about 3 points of connectivity. So it's a 1 to 3. And that's an average. So every block doesn't have to have 3 points of connectivity.
Okay.
It's just in the overall scheme. So you look at how many blocks, how many points of connectivity, is the ratio about 1 to 3.
Is that, did I hear you saying, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, did you say that's what we're seeing now with most developments?
Right. We looked at Grand Reserve. We looked at some of the other built, newer, finished developments in the South. We've seen that, you know, standard and even greater standards apply. It was just a way to codify what
yeah.
we were seeing. But it's not, again, if we're seeing that organically from developers, it may not be necessary to require it as a standard.
Of course, we haven't had any new development in a while, have we, as far as residential?
Except for Harlan Meadows.
And does that meet it? I mean, that was a PUD, though, right?
Yes.
So, except for Harlan Meadows, we haven't had many to test this, but the bigger subdivisions in town that are filling in now, Grand Reserve, Raintree, Bristol Bay, Prestwick, those kind of met that standard?
Those were between 1.2 and 1.3.
Which meets that standard?
Yeah, which meets the standard. I believe it's 1.2 is our standard.
So it just got to the point that good planning, good design is occurring. Do we need, that was kind of part of the committee's discussion, is why put it in there when it happens on its own? And there's times when it doesn't benefit the subdivision, times where, you know, they just, done because it's the right decision.
And some of those, well, those subdivisions we just rattled off, the Grand Reserve, Prestwick, Raintree, were those all PUDs?
Most of them, yes.
Okay, so we would have an opportunity to review it.
Correct.
Okay, I know Chris's thoughts. Anyone else have a strong feeling one way or the other?
I'm a B review.
What's that?
I'd probably be the B.
What is B? Remove the language?
Remove
it. So side with Funkhouse is what you're saying?
That would allow more cul-de-sacs, if I understood it right.
Is that agreeing with you, Chris? Tell me, is he agreeing with you or not? Because if he is, I'm disagreeing with him. No, I'm just kidding. I just want to understand. I want to give staff direction. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, to remove the connectivity index.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's opposed to removing the connectivity index? Let's try it that way. No one's opposed to it. Let's remove it from there. Just trying to figure that out. Okay, Christy, what else do we have on this?
That's all.
So we got, that's all, folks. So we need to figure out the ADUs a little bit more in detail, but we'll bring something back. I don't know if it'll be next meeting or meeting after that, but we'll bring something back. My guess is it probably will be the following meeting just because Thanksgiving's next week, and it's not high on my list to get it resolved before Turkey Day. So, anything else on this? Christy?
No.
Bart? Kathy? Welcome.
I'll be here next time, too.
Did you just graduate from law school?
Yeah, I'm learning.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Here's the next page. Any additional business? Any further citizen comments? Caught you when you're gulping there. Remember the rules here. State your name, please.
Okay, I can do that. My name's Molly Krupski. I'd like to leave you with three things. Number one, we went to the library board meeting last night. We've been going for a while. They have some serious issues with material selection and allowing unconstitutional interference from the American Library Association, which pretty much amounts to extortion on the part of the state of Illinois, but that's happening across the board. They do, on the other hand, really seem to care about the library and maintain the building. Theron, the board president, does a great job of facilitating conversations among the whole board. And what we've been noticing over the last few months, that they could really use some support with regard to decisions about building maintenance and contractors. And we were excited when Craig showed up last night. We haven't had a liaison since the last election. I think you felt even more compelled to come because you ran into Jackie at Jewel, and she had voiced that she would really like to have some communication, so that was nice. And you didn't even know that they were talking about the pumps last night. And you were being completely modest when you said that you were able to give them some assistance. You were a rock star, and you talked about everything in detail and gave them pros and cons on everything, and I really think that you saved them from moving in the wrong direction. We have a boiler at home, and it's not fun, and I think your advice was good advice. So thank you for being there. They really, really appreciated it. They moved him up from the audience and put him in the seat, and they wanted him. They wanted that communication. He didn't have to be at that meeting. He didn't even know that they were talking about the pumps. He didn't know how valuable his insight would be. He didn't know that God had orchestrated that meeting with Jackie at Jewel. He didn't know why, but Craig cares about people, and he cares about Yorkville, and so he showed up, and thank you for that. This is a perfect example of the way that God prevents problems for cities full of people who love him and love and serve and communicate with each other, which brings me to my next topic. I'd like to throw out quickly an idea for a proposed change to the agenda for a time when you guys feel like it would be genuine. I'd like to ask that we would, at some point, return to opening meetings with a very simple prayer to acknowledge God's provision and to ask him to lead us into decisions that will uphold the purposes stated in the preamble to the Illinois Constitution. It would go something like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for always providing for the needs of the city of Yorkville. We ask you to continue to guide us in making decisions that will enable you to bless this city and its people. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, I'd like to leave you with a prophetic warning for your consideration. The word addresses several different people groups, so please receive any portion that you feel applies to you. This word was received and released on Saturday, November 11th, so this was just a few days ago. It is the 11th hour for the enemies of God. The window is closing on the opportunity to repent or to become a whistleblower. Those of you on the fence teetering between darkness and light, be wise and brave and jump into the light. be part of saving a nation rather than part of destroying it for selfish greed. This is also the 11th hour for those in the body of Christ who have persisted in a sinful lifestyle of using and abusing people, my people, and have hidden these sins behind religious facades. They have used the anointing on their life to consume people and finances, to feed their lust and perversion. Your refusal to come clean before the people and to repent to me have placed you in a reaping stream of judgment. If you are one who knows that these people are living double lives in any area of society, but you are refusing to expose it and are helping to enable it, then you will place yourself in the same reaping stream of judgment. A good father issues a final warning before he brings the promised consequences for rebellious and destructive behavior. Respond now, before it's too late. You will not be able to escape when my hammer blow breaks open the dam and exposure, judgment, and justice are released. Don't be hoodwinked by the great deceiver any longer. Choose to come into my light and refuse to be a servant of darkness any longer. In my light is hope for your future, an invitation to salvation through the blood of the Lamb, and cleansing from slavery to sin. Hear my call and come now, because it's the 11th hour. Thank you. It's been a pleasure spending the last 15 months with you guys, and thank you all for serving the people.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Any need for executive session? We may have one. I don't know about next meeting. Maybe next meeting, maybe meeting after that. There might be something coming up, something exciting. Maybe not. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Coke, second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all. Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate it very much.